When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. It is our middle of the week show for us as we get ready for the Travelers Championship, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, the BMW International Open, the Dick's Sporting Goods Open, a whole lot of stuff this week on the slate. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you here with us. Got a good show for you. We're going to go over our model. I'm going to explain a couple of differences I have this week and I've made permanently to the model, what that might mean moving forward. And you're going to see some of those differences pretty quickly in how players rank, frankly. There's going to be some changes that might be a little bit surprising, but I think they are for the better. And we're going to talk about the short-term model that we'll walk you through and what all that means and what it'll mean for subscribers moving forward. And we'll talk about horses for courses, course fit kind of stuff, DFS plays. And then we'll touch a little bit at the back end, the back half of this, about the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. And just touch a little bit on the BMW International Open. We talked about that yesterday and maybe a smidge today on the Dick's Sporting Goods Open, but that'll probably be tomorrow. Okay, let's walk through the model for this week's tournament, the Travelers Championship. And I want to explain some changes that I have made in the model based on just some things that I've seen recently. And if you look at, I've done this model for about 3 years now, a little over 3 years, 3.25 years at this point. And the model has been very good. I mean, historically, it identifies the best players as those who win. However, we have started to see a little bit of a swing recently on the PGA Tour toward players who are, in the shorter term, playing better. And because of the shorter term playing better, they have swung into the winner's circle. And that's not as easily identified in my model, as I've talked about repeatedly. The model weighs 1 and 2 year performance windows with all competition and then weighted competition, basically taking the segment of kind of similar depth tournaments. And then we include weights for the last 5 tournaments and weights for the course history, the last 3 years of a tournament at a particular venue, and put it all together. And so what I've decided to do is to increase the weight on the last 5 events and on the course history piece of this. Now, I've decided to increase the weight on the last 5 events by a factor of 3. So it used to be like 5%, now it's 15%. And I decided to increase the weight on the course history from basically 5% to 10%. So a little bit increase there, not quite as big. And you'll see some changes there in terms of how the guys rate out. That's just naturally part of this. But what I want to try to do is do a little bit better of a job of capturing short-term trends without losing sight of the fact that I firmly believe you identify winners based on longer-term performance more often than not. Frankly, 75-80% of the time, you're looking at a longer-term evolution of a player to a win than a short-term evolution of a player to a win. But I want to capture maybe some of that evolution a little bit better over the course of 5 or 10 tournaments, and there still may be changes to this model where I go and look at last 10 tournaments with that weighting instead of the last 5, we could see a change there. But based on all of those things, the ranking is not going to look dramatically different. You're still going to get a lot of high quality players in this ranking in the exact positions you probably think they're going to be. So let's go through them this week. Top 10. Maybe we'll do top 15 just to kind of prove the point here. Okay. Rory McIlroy's number one. Very slightly ahead of Scottie Scheffler. Very slightly. Basically the same. Small gap. Xander Schauffele is third. Small. Again, another small gap. A little bit smaller than the gap between two and three is the gap to three to four. Number four is Patrick Cantlay. John Rahm is fifth. So current trends probably don't work in his favor. But also over the long haul, he does kind of tend to have a little bit more up and down. Tommy Fleetwood is sixth in this model. So we're looking at strokes gained in the last number of events, right? With a little bit more of a weighting, that really helps out Tommy Fleetwood. Victor Hovland is seventh. Matt Fitzpatrick is eighth. Max Homa is ninth. Tony Finau is 10th. Denny McCarthy is 11th, believe it or not. Sun JM is 12th. Adam Scott is 13th. Wyndham Clark is 14th. And Shane Lowry is 15th. Now, Wyndham Clark obviously moves up a ton because he's won twice recently, right? And that factors into, at least the U.S. Open win factors into the last five. But he also has a longer-term trend of not being that great as a player. And if you look at a tool that we have for our members at golfnewsnet.com, it's called Last 50 Trends. So if you are looking at what a player has done strokes gained wise in the last 50 tournaments versus what they've done in the last 20 tournaments or the last 10 tournaments, you can see some significant changes. And one of the biggest evolutions is in Wyndham Clark. I mean, it basically goes very incrementally, like basically by a close to a stroke, last five, you know, last 10, last 20, last 30, last 50 kind of thing. It's very, very apparent. And I think it's important to note that, because once you understand how quickly a player can evolve, then you know how that impacts the model a little bit better. So that's why Wyndham Clark is not necessarily all of a sudden like the 10th best player or the 7th best player because he won the U.S. Open. Because over the long haul, he's had a bunch of, not clunkers, but relative clunkers. So important to look at that, important to note that about this. Now I want to compare this revised model to the short-term projections. So if you look at how players have done in the last 10 tournaments, just the last 10. That's all I'm looking at here. I want to look at what they've done in each facet of strokes gained, off the tee, approach, around the green, putting, and in total, and also look at quality strokes gained. I think that's extremely important to understand, because someone may be gaining a lot of strokes in terms of weaker events when those things happen. We haven't gone through that as frequently, right? And that may not be quite as important in the designated era in the future. But if you concentrate a lot of strokes gained in bigger events, maybe that's worth something more, right? Compared to the field you might be facing that week. So we put this tool together, looks at the last 10 events. It's sorted out by strokes gained in total. And I think any player that's gained at least 1.2 strokes per measured round on average is doing great, right? They're doing tremendous stuff. And if you are gaining on the approach at least 0.6 strokes per round, then I think you're a player to look at. What you're going to notice if you look at the tool, and I'm not going to go through all of it here. If you're a member, you can look at it at golfnewsnet.com. But what you're going to see is that among the players who rank the highest in strokes gained, so in this listing, there are 5, 10, 15 players who have 1.2 average strokes gained per round over the last 10 tournaments. Of them, of the 15, only 4 of them meet that criteria of meet the criteria of 0.6 strokes on the approach, which means you're getting in a different way, maybe a less meaningful way. So let's take Corey Connors, for example, just meets the threshold. So he gains his strokes off the tee and with the approach, but it's not quite as high as you might think with the approach, about 0.4 per per round. He's about 0.6 off the tee. Around the green doesn't mean much because he's a good ball striker. And putting plus 0.15, basically, per round. So I am trying to look for the players who are doing the best in total. I think total tells you, frankly, everything. But approach is going to be your next best metric. I don't think off the tee means something, but it doesn't tell you everything. Approach is really where your high-quality ball strikers are at, right? So you want to try to find a player that's maybe hitting it well on the approach in their last 10 events, but just isn't quite getting there for whatever reason in terms of total. So for those 15 golfers that are at 1.2 or better on average the last 10 events, there's not many. There's some surprises and there are some not, right? So Scheffler, CT Pan is second. So he's playing great golf at the moment. It doesn't necessarily look like it, but he's gaining a ton of strokes around the green and he's gaining a ton of strokes putting. So that's how he's doing it. He's not doing anything especially amazing off the tee or on the approach. But the short game, the wedge game, is really mighty fine right now. And that might be great on a golf course where you're going to be hitting a lot of wedges and a lot of shorter irons. So that might be something to consider this week. But beyond that, I don't think you're going to see a lot of surprises. Xander Schauffele, Tommy Fleetwood, Ricky Fowler, Denny McCarthy, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, Wyndham Clark, Adam Scott, Matt Fitzpatrick, Victor Hovland, Ludvig Åberg. We don't have much, obviously, data over time, but didn't putt very well, but did do very well off the tee. And that's kind of what his jam is, right? He's got to evolve as a player a little bit, better approach player, better putter. He'll figure that out. Eric Cole, who's been playing well, and Corey Connors, as I mentioned. Now, there are some players who don't fit that mold of having that 1.2 strokes gained per average. In fact, most of them who are playing well on the approach aren't. Again, there's only four people. So players who are doing great on the approach but are struggling in other areas. Let's look at John Rahm. Great on the approach. Terrible putting, terrible chipping recently. Aaron Rye. Great approach play, terrible putting, terrible chipping. Russell Henley. Great approach play for a guy that's been lauded as a good putter for most of his career. Not so great around the greens. Not so great off the tee. Not so great at putting. Same thing with Mark Hubbard. Gaining tons of strokes on the approach. Very sexy bet this week. I told you to bet him. Bet him. But there's a reason he's 200-1, even though he's gaining a little over a stroke per round. That's why. He's just not that great off the tee. But that's not going to mean a whole lot this week because the golf course is short. So maybe you say, okay, well, we don't care about that as much. Wyndham Clark, one of the guys that actually fits here, is gaining about 0.9 strokes per round on average on the approach, which is elite level stuff. And he's just kind of okay off the tee. So for a guy that hits the ball an awfully long way in the last 10 events, hasn't been driving it particularly well, but the thing that's really changed his game is better approach play. Other guys that are kind of fitting this mold of not so great in some other stuff, but great approach play, Bezuidenhout, Lashley, Morikawa, who's been awful chipping and putting, and it shows, but still can finish really well, kind of like Scheffler. Davis Riley, who's a guy who's gaining strokes on the approach significantly and losing them badly in every other facet of the game. Lucas Glover, Deki Matsuyama, Carson Young, Sepp Straka. Again, another guy who gains pretty frequently when he's playing streaky. He just figures out the approach play and everything else is kind of woo. Emiliano Grillo, great approach player. We know that. Not so great at other stuff, but the upgraded putting to 0.5 strokes per round, that's the difference between winning Colonial and not. Doc Redman, Patton Kizzire, other people on that list who are playing well in the approach facet of the game, but for whatever reason are not extending that to other parts of their game. So that's something worth looking at here. Can help you identify some players who are playing well that might not do as well in the model. If you look at a total number, if you're just looking for kind of diamonds in the rough, guys who are playing well on the approach, but for whatever reason aren't getting a whole lot out of it, then that's maybe the number you want to look at. If you want to go down to 0.5, then you add, seven more names. Streelman, Reavy, the guy a lot of people like this week. Alex Smalley, Victor Hovland, who fits the criteria. He's just kind of steady at everything. Shane Lowry, Siwoo Kim, Ryan Palmer, all guys who are playing pretty well overall. They're just not playing great enough in everything to basically warrant where they're at. So let's take some of all this stuff. Let's go back to the lines for this week and then include a little bit about our horse for course plays, our current form plays. I mean, obviously current form kind of factors into whether you're gaining strokes, right? I mean, that's a big part of it, of course. But there are a lot of players in this field who have notched multiple top 15 finishes recently, and you're going to see some overlap between those lists, right? Aaron Rye comes right up there. Not playing particularly great in any facet of the game, but approach play, well, that could come in handy this week. Look what he's done. Shorter, tighter courses, Colonial and the Canadian Open. Guy perhaps to like this week. Some guys that don't seem all that surprising at all, given where you've seen them on leaderboards. Can't like Clark, English, Fleetwood, Fowler, Hatton, Hovland, McIlroy, Rose. They're not surprising at all. You might like Adam Schenck this week. Same thought as Aaron Rye. Got close to Colonial, tight track, not so long. Memorial, very punishing track. Did very well there, so maybe something to consider. I think I mentioned Eric Cole, but he played very well the PGA Championship and the Canadian Open. One of those guys having kind of a dream year to get to where he needs to be for some great status next year. Course fits in terms of horses for courses based on prior finishes. You only have really two that stand out in a big way, maybe three, I guess. Patrick Cantlay has been in this top 15 all the time, but doesn't really ever seem to get into the top 10. Brian Harman has done great here. He's going to be your horse for course play and probably your current form play, right? Like the guy that's not going to get caught up in the last 10 events, but like the last three have been really nice, and he likes this one. And then Jason Day is probably your other one to note. Did play well 18 or 19, 20, 21, somewhere in that range, even playing his worst kind of golf. Didn't finish there last year. But Kevin Kisner also has three of these. Obviously not playing good golf at the moment, but seems to like this venue. And I will note that Rory McIlroy has two top 15 finishes here. I mean, the guy hits the ball a million miles. Like, if he hit it straight, which is what he does, then he's going to give himself a chance. And I think the same thing is true for Scheffler. Wouldn't begrudge you taking either of them. Or Rahm. Although, again, if you look at the numbers for Rahm in the short term, I mean, the putting is just not good. The chipping is not good. And that leads to indicate to me that there are some wedge problems and some putting stroke problems. I'm not so thrilled about that. I don't know how I feel about that 12-1 number. That all said, let's look at where we're at on the board right now. Try to pick apart a few guys. Scottie Scheffler, I've seen fluctuate between 6.5-1, 7-1, 6-1, depending on the book where you go. I will point out this was not here yesterday. So DraftKings has added a promotion to add plus 300 to any golfer if you want to bet them outright to win. Something probably to indicate there might be a little bit lighter handle than they would like. I feel like this kind of happens every now and then. We're like, oh yeah, on Tuesday, now you can add them. Like if you bet early, like a maniac, no. Or like a smart person, not like a maniac. But if you bet early, we're not going to give you that plus 300. But if you bet Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll give you that plus 300. So something to consider, especially when they seem to kind of like lighter than expected handle weeks. But nevertheless, Patrick Cantlay 11-1 makes sense. But again, my hang with Cantlay this week, yeah, he gets in the top 15 all the time at this event, but doesn't get in the top 10. So what's the value? McIlroy 12-1, Rahm 12-1, Xander Schauffele 16-1 as a prior / defending champion. I think you have to kind of like him here. I think a lot of people are going to like Colin Morikawa. I think people should like Tommy Fleetwood. I think that would be your switch if you don't want to take Morikawa. He's playing very good golf, but he's just not a good putter, and this is a putting contest. I mean, you're supposed to be able to wedge it pretty close pretty frequently, so maybe that's a help here, is that you aren't going to have as many long putts if you're Colin Morikawa. But Fleetwood's playing great. Finau 30. Henley 35, I've seen a lot of people bet him, and Tom Kim. I feel like the whole universe is on Tom Kim this week, and I completely understand why. A lot of things to like about him and how he might fit this venue. I would argue, though, Matt Fitzpatrick would be a great switch because he has shown that he likes die courses, Harbortown. He has shown that he can thrive on tighter, smaller target golf courses, Country Club. So you've seen him play Memphis. I'm not going to say it's a comparable course, but it's a relatively small set of targets compared to some other places. So Matt Fitzpatrick, I think, stands out to me. Ricky Fowler, Siwoo Kim are both at 40. I think Siwoo's worth a look. I don't think he's going to get a lot of it. Hideki's going to get a lot of looks this week. Sungjae's 45. I know he rates well in the model, but if you look at the kind of last 10 events, it's not great. I mean, it's just, he's not even on the top 50 in strokes gained on the approach, so that's going to be a pass for me. Then Cameron Young and Jason Day. I think Jason Day is actually worth a look here at 50-1. Wyndham Clark's faded a little bit. I think people recognize winning a major takes a lot out of you. He's 50-1, so his price has gone down. Shane Lowry, 55 is actually kind of interesting. Harmon at 60 is a yes for me. Denny McCarthy at 65 would be a yes. Harris English at 65 could be a yes. Some people are going to like Sahith Theegala. Okay. Corey Connors makes sense here at 65, I think. Min Woo makes sense at 70. Austin Eckroat seems to give a lot of love here. He was 100-1. He's now 80. I kind of like this Ludvig Åberg number, just moves around like crazy. But I really like his number plus 11,000. Same thing with Aaron Rye. Same thing with Steven Yeager. Steven Yeager is playing great golf. Kind of mispriced. Makes a lot of cuts. He's been playing really good golf overall. Aaron Rye has been doing well in these tighter courses. He is very erratic, and he's not the best putter. But what he's been doing on the approach is remarkable. I think that's worth a look. Åberg, my case, I think I made it yesterday, is if you're going to look to a player that doesn't have a whole lot of experience, look to a golf course that has rewarded players who don't have a whole lot of experience. Patrick Cantlay is an AM shot 60 here. Michael Thorbjørnsen, who's in the field again, had a top five finish here as an AM? I mean, great, great effort for guys that don't necessarily know the course or know the PGA Tour. I think that makes sense. Mark Hubbard has shortened up so much. He's 130-1 here. And again, makes a lot of sense. If you look at his approach play, it's very good. He's not very good at a whole lot of other stuff. Emiliano Grillo, same thing, 130-1. Come on, man. Like, that's really good. CT Pan, I'm not so convinced of. Again, you look at that short-term modeling. He's gaining strokes, obviously, and we've pointed that out. But how he's doing it is very, I could get behind that, actually. The way he is doing it is very well spread out. It just is. So if he's putting it well and he's decent enough on the approach, I would say off the tee doesn't matter quite as much here. It's short for everybody. So maybe that's a guy to look at this week at that 130-1 number. You're going to like, some people are going to like Ben Ahn. Some people are going to like Lee Hodges. I've seen him mentioned. Eric Cole, Bo Hostler has a couple of good finishes in this tournament, not necessarily playing great golf. Sepp Straka playing well on the approach, but so variable. KH Lee's 200-1. I've seen in places. I'm going to take a pass on that, but I would like to bite a little bit on Ches Reavie at 200-1. Closed very well at the Canadian Open. He's playing good enough on the approach. I think that number intrigues me. Davis Riley at 250-1, I think, is going to attract some attention, because you figure he's just got to get a little bit better, right? It can't be this bad forever. Kurt Kitayama is a guy that I always tend to think about betting, just because I think he's a guy that has the ceiling is very high, even though he has a lot of poor results. But having this tool does kind of help. See, he's losing strokes off the tee for the short in the last 10 events. Pretty decent. Not great, but decent on the approach. Pretty decent on putting. But if you kind of net it all out, he's barely gaining strokes at all. So that's the problem. But if the off-the-tee stuff doesn't matter as much this week, you're just trying to get into play, and he's got plenty of length, then maybe that's a sexy number to look at. He's just got to clean it up a little bit, and that's not bad. I think I can talk myself into a lot of golfers in these super deep ranges this week. And the reality is, the best golfers in the world are here, and they're most likely to win. So I can understand. Scheffler's going to win this somehow, like 6.5-1. So you might as well bet him at 9.5-1 and just take that and say thank you and hope that works out. So I do want to point all of those things out. And hopefully you'll check out the short-term model, become a member at golfnewsnet.com. You'll also get information about all of the other stuff that we're talking about here. You get more in-depth information available to you. I do want to talk about course history here, tournament history. We haven't talked about that really the last couple of weeks because we had a new venue for the last two tournaments, but we're back to a steady venue here this week. And I think this is a tournament where you're going to have a hard time betting the result number. And here's why. You don't have a lot of consistency. Last year, Xander Schauffele won by two. Prior year, Harris English won in, what, like a 7-hole playoff. Dustin Johnson won by one in the COVID year. Then you had Ches Reavie, who won. He won by four. Four. Then you had Bubba Watson win by three. You had a playoff with Jordan Spieth with the bunker throw, the club throw, or the rake throw, both. Russell Knox won by one. Bubba Watson in a playoff. So one or a playoff is the most common, but you've seen some blowouts here. And I think if you're going to bet anything, probably one or a playoff, but I would stay away from it this week because you're going to have to bet two and three and four as possibilities too. And also the thing I'm going to throw in here, we've never seen a field this good for the Travelers. So I would think it's going to lean us toward one or a playoff, but you could absolutely see a blowout here. And I think that's for my reason to stay away this week. If you want to look at top 20s, 30s, 40s, all those types of things, if you want to look in the top 20 world, you start to get plus money at Tommy Fleetwood and Colin Morikawa's at 25-1 or better. I think you could hammer a lot of these better players. Fitzpatrick, Matsuyama, Tom, and Siwoo, Henley, Fleetwood, Morikawa, those are all, I think, very good top 20 bets for this week. I'd like Brian Harman, obviously, a plus 210. Denny McCarthy, a plus 240. These are all really interesting numbers. Aaron Rye, plus 350. You might be able to do some damage here, taking longer shots. But I think there is an opportunity here on those top 20s. I don't typically like to go after those types of derivative plays. I like to kind of be like an all-or-nothing guy. Well, the winner or nothing. That's why I don't tend to do a lot of nickel and diming on matchups. That's just how I am as a bettor. That's how I am as a gambler. I like that kind of action as opposed to, oh, well, we just check that one off kind of thing. Your mileage, of course, may vary. Make miscut bet this week. Miscut bets get kind of interesting at Justin Thomas plus 150, who is playing some very disturbing golf at the moment. I think that's worth a bet at plus 150 to miss the cut. I don't think Wyndham Clark's going to make the or miss the cut, but at plus 200, kind of interesting if you're into that kind of thing, because he's probably gassed, and he just flew across the country. And yes, I know they fly charters, but it takes a lot out of you to win a golf tournament, so I could see him not doing well here. I could see Adam Scott not doing well here also, but on those are kind of interesting. And I do want to look at a couple of matchups here. Again, these are not my favorites, but these are tournaments. They don't have round one stuff up. They've been trying to do it the last couple of weeks. Maybe they're just not getting a lot of bites on it, but tournament matchups that might be interesting. I think Jason Day over Adam Scott, minus 130 is worth a look. I think Harris English plus 105 against Hideki Matsuyama is worth a wager. Brian Harman minus 130 against Seamus Power, I would be very interested in. Steven Yeager minus 120 over Christian Mazadenhuyt. Yeah, I'd take that. Mazadenhuyt, sorry. Rory McIlroy plus 105 against Patrick Cantlay. That's almost enough to take it. That's enough for me to at least consider saying yes to that one. Siwoo, no, that's going to be a pass. And then Cameron Young minus 120 against Justin Thomas. If you can find something against Justin Thomas this week, I think you got to hammer it. Just automatically say yes, because he's just not playing good golf at the moment. So I think that captures everything that I wanted to talk about around the Travelers Championship. And that's, you know, 30 minutes worth of stuff. So I'm going to take that to the side. We'll do just a quick couple seconds here on the Women's PGA Championship. They are Baltusrol Lower. It's a longer course. It's going to require some solid driving. You're going to probably think about a longer player this week, but you're going to want to look at players who are playing great. Nelly Korda, not playing great, but she's a little bit of a longer hitter. Jin Young Ko's playing great. I would take her at 12-1 over Nelly Korda. Rose Zhang has been bet so low. She's 18-1. You just can't do that right now. Leona Maguire is playing great. 20-1. I think this course may be a little bit long for her, but I understand why people are thinking about that. Minji Lee at 28-1, though, just checks all the boxes and makes a whole lot of sense. I think you've got to consider betting her. Ashley Buhai at 35-1 makes a whole lot of sense. She's playing a lot of great golf, and her lack of relative length doesn't seem to bother me. Jennifer Kupcho at 45-1 is starting to figure it out and play good golf again, maybe at the right time to get a second major championship. Maja Stark at 60-1. Yes, please, back up the truck. That is way, way too high of an odds for her. She's a very, very good player, very accomplished player, and I'd like to see that. Hannah Green, she won on a very punishing golf course for her major championship at Hazeltine, 70-1. This is a punishing golf course too. Aria Jatanyagarn, 80-1. I'd like to see it closer to 100, but she is playing very much on or off kind of golf. She's either in the top 15 or she's missing the cut, and there's not a whole lot of in between. So maybe you want to look at a top 10 bet on her at 7-1. I completely understand that, but she has the length and I think the growing confidence to be able to win this tournament. And I think that's probably where I would cut it off. If you want to take a flyer on Emily Peterson at 150-1, she's a longer player. The results necessarily haven't always been there in the LPGA, but I think she could be really worth a flyer bet, just a small one, not a big one, just a small one. And that's probably where I would hold it for now. But we'll come back to that tomorrow and we'll wrap everything up. We will also talk about the BMW International Open. We'll talk about the Dick's Sporting Goods Open in upstate New York. And we'll wrap everything up with a final card for the week. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you catch us as a podcast on a platform that lets you do it, please leave us a 5-star review. Leave a comment. It helps us reach more people. You can get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can also get a hold of me on social media, on Twitter or Instagram, at the handle Ryan Ballingy. I'll answer your DMs and happy to have conversations with you, bounce some ideas. And you can join Golf News Net for $99 a year at golfnewsnet.com. Check us out on Golf News Net Radio, where you can listen to our friends at Preferred Lines and also Lost for Words, who give great betting advice every single week around the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour and the LPGA Tour sometimes for that matter. Catch us tomorrow for our last show of the week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time on The Press.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.